episode 2 of Pico Chat, a bite-sized podcast about Pico 8 and other tiny games. I'm Tony, and I have my good friend Kyle on this episode to talk about the second Pico 8 Jam, which took place a couple weeks ago. We played through every single submission, and we'll be discussing them all here. But let's start with a brief introduction. Kyle, can you talk a little bit about the types of games you like to play and a little bit about how you identify as a gamer?
Hey there. Yeah. So I thought about this a lot, you know, especially coming into these great tiny games like this. I really like these, especially because as a gamer, I really like playing around with games that have interesting mechanics, or they take, you know, like something that's really well known and kind of turn it on its head a little bit. I like people who try out, you know, different ways of thinking about gameplay. And I mean, personally, I'm a big player or a big fan of multiplayer games, but you know, I really like the kind of game that does something weird or new that makes you, you know, kind of want to talk about the experience, like, you know, like when you were like 8 years old and after you finished the first stage of Mario 3, you're like, oh man, I dropped behind the little white block and flew into the, yeah. So like that's where I am as a gamer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And playing some of these games in the jam, there were a couple that were multiplayer only, and I was bummed that I didn't have anyone to play them with. But
yeah,
we'll have to get together and run through those, and we'll issue a follow-up in the future.
I am up for it. Let's do it.
Perfect. I really appreciate that you agreed to be on this episode with me. I frequently push Pico 8 games on you all the time. I think our chat is 20% of it is me saying, hey, check out this weird little game.
Oh, yeah.
And based on the things I've sent you and based on the games that were submitted to this jam, what are some of your thoughts about Pico 8, so its constraints, the types of games that you've seen on it? Just what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I'll bring up one in particular that we talked about just a while ago, but you sent me Totem a while ago, and it was such a great game. And it riffed on Mega Man in a neat way, and actually removing some of the skills as you got better at the game actually made it more challenging. I thought that was a really interesting way to play it. But I think the constraints in the Pico 8 platform, they're not really constraints. It's more like, you know, you're given a different set of rules, and with those rules you can break them in some really interesting ways. And it just lets you play around with these ideas that we've, you know, if you have something small that you want to try out, it doesn't have to be a huge job or anything like that. You don't really have to, you know, shoot for the moon every time. It can really be just, I like making this mechanic where I jump around and grab tiny stars. And that's really all it has to be.
Yeah. And several of the developers in the jam, this is the first game they've ever made. And I can really identify with that because I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my first game. I'm going to download Unity. And so I downloaded Unity, opened it, and immediately closed it because I was totally overwhelmed. I had no idea how to do anything. Mm-hmm. But Pico Chat, you can really wrap your head around. And you don't have to create the next sweeping Western open world RPG. You know, you can make a game where you paint a fish.
Oh, my gosh. And it's the best in the series, too.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to the games. We have a lot to get through.
Oh, let's do it. I can't wait.
Me either. So first up is Isohopes by Alazarol. It's a nuclear reactor simulator. What were your thoughts about it?
So this one was really interesting in that this is probably the closest I'll ever come to understanding a nuclear reactor. But it was – it had a really interesting – the thing that stuck out to me, honestly, was the way that it had the menu and the help screen, and it kind of played together in such a way that everything was really well modularly laid out. But the actual – that was just as far as the design goes, but the gameplay itself – was really fun once you got a good reaction going.
It's really deep. Like once you figure out that the particles have to be at the right speed, they have to make contact with a fuel rod, you know, before they decay. I was surprised how deep the mechanics were. I played 5 or 6 times, and I think the best I ever did was I had -$4 billion in the bank.
I was terrible. I don't think I ever broke even. But I got to know, did you, what was the first round you played, did you immediately try to just go for a meltdown?
No, I put too many cooling things and nothing happened and I had no idea what was going on. So I went the other direction. I played it safe.
Oh no, I went all out. Well, I just wanted to see what it would do. And I got maybe my favorite game over screen out of this whole set of the and most of these, I mean, of course, don't have an end state. That's not always mm-hmm. that's not something you really need in a game like this or in these types of games. But I really loved when there was a meltdown. The end state screen was just pitch perfect. And of course, yeah, if you're going to I don't know if we want to spoil it.
No, let's not. Let's just tell the listeners to go ahead and try to get a meltdown in Ice of Hopes.
it was pretty great. I loved cool. it.
So moving on, Fish Painter Deluxe by Kitten Master. This is I think I laughed the hardest just reading the description of this game. The Kitten Master's description is, this is just your standard fish painter game, but no one had done one for Pico 8 yet. So the game is basically just like a 3D rendered fish, and you can paint different parts of it, and other little fish are swimming around, and you can paint them.
Yes.
They're really cool bubble animations. It was just a really nice looking, fun time waster, I thought.
Oh, it's such a great little toy. I was actually thinking about this in terms of the theme of the whole jam as chain reactions. I had actually looked at I got into it where I was trying to figure out, like, where's the chain reaction here? But I was really getting into, like, just clicking on different parts of the fish to see how fast I could paint over different parts as it filled in all the empty areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where that came through.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're right. Once you click it, the color kind of starts spreading. And
But but really, the thing that made it for me was the music. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was so great.
It was really good. And to give the listeners a taste, we'll play a sample for you now. So the next game is Combo Pool by Newson. Did you beat this game?
I did. It took a while.
I know, but it didn't feel so good.
It really, surprisingly.
It's such a solid game. Yeah. The premise is you're just shooting billiard balls onto a table. They start as black. And once you combine two black ones, they become light gray and so on and so on. And eventually, you keep combining balls of a like color. And eventually, when you combine two pink ones, I think the whole table blows up and you win.
Yes.
I think my final score was about 60,000.
Wow.
I played it on easy. I don't know if I could do any better than that.
You're not ready for legendary mode yet?
Not yet. But it felt so overwhelming when I first started playing it. But I was like, I'm not going to beat this.
Yeah.
And I just played it for a couple minutes. And then I started clearing the board. And it just felt good. And eventually I blew it up.
Yeah, so let's talk about the life bar mechanic on that for a moment. Mm-hmm. That was such an interesting way to approach this because, like with so many of these types of games, yeah, it would have been really easy to just say, all right, just fill the table with as many of these billiard balls as possible. The goal is to do this. It doesn't really matter. And that would have been cool too, but mm-hmm. this made it into a challenge. to where you had to, it even had sound effects for when you were in sudden death mode.
Yeah.
And, man, I loved that.
It was nice. Yeah. So basically the more balls were on the table, the less health you had. And right. But you could regain health by clearing balls.
And it felt good to be able to say, like, well, I'm pretty low, but I can connect this shot to get here, and this will give me a little bit health, a little bit of health back, and oh, I just loved
it. Yeah, it's a great, great game. So Magic Jewelry, The Tale of a Thousand Gems by Adrian. What'd you think of this one?
So under my I wrote a list of pros and cons for all of the games in my notes. And the top under my list of pros for this one is has a Statue of Liberty. I don't know. I didn't feel this one as much, but I like it. But I wasn't really getting into it as much. The controls didn't work great for me.
It was a little fiddly for me too. But it was, I mean, a really solid puzzle mechanic. I had a hard time lining things up just so.
Yeah,
but I liked it. I think it was a solid game. So I think it's one of Adrian's first games for Pico 8, so I think it's good in that regard too.
Well, I actually in his notes he mentions that this is a remake of an old NES game called Magic Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually go check out?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I did.
Oh, nice.
I do my homework. No, I checked it out. I think he might link it, but I can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I checked it out, and believe it or not, checking out the a video of the original game, which does have a Statue of Liberty, it actually gave me a lot more tools to go back to the demake and kind of understand how it plays a little bit
better. Oh, nice, nice.
It was. I still wish I had a little bit. Even just like a how to play screen would have been great.
I think that was my problem. I didn't understand how the comboing worked really. But
It does everything. It goes diagonally. And
oh.
Yeah. See, and the other thing that made me a little concerned about this game was that the blocks vanished immediately. So when you did get when you did make a connection, you didn't always know that you had done it.
Yeah, and that's the most satisfying part, right? When you see the lines clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Nora's Mouse Chase, it took me a while to figure out what this game even was. Mm-hmm. It looked just like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go get the cheese. I'm going to be a mouse. I thought it was a platformer or something.
Oh,
but it's actually a turn-based RPG where you chain elemental attacks to build up the strength of your attacks. And I think there are only two battles in the game. One's against a pair of fuzzy slippers.
Yes.
But it was a surprisingly solid RPG mechanic. And there was an entire like MP system with abilities you could use to manipulate the elements that were available to you.
Yeah.
I was really surprised how much work went into the battle system. Oh, and this game was written by JTE.
This is one of my favorite games in this jam, simply for the fact that, I think this is the one I mentioned to you a couple days ago, was like a little bit like, Bait and Kados.
Right.
With the system, although I suppose with the main character, this would be Bait and Kados, I guess. With the main character, where you have the elements are kind of like the cards in that, and it didn't work for me at first. It took me a couple minutes to get used to it, but once I did, oh man, that system, that's got places it can go. I would love to see that done on a larger scale.
Yeah, me too. And if it can't fit in Pico 8, I would love to see it.
Please
somewhere
do.
Else. Yeah.
The one thing that I would have wished for that one was the ability to just discard cards to say I don't want that, or discard elements to say like, no, let's try this one.
Yeah, although I guess that's kind of what the magic was for, but
I suppose.
Yeah,
but it was great.
Yeah. So Space Tank 9000, what were your thoughts on this game?
Oh man, it was so explodey.
It wasn't it like the like constantly changing color, the like arcade flashing colors on a black background, and
I got lots of flavors of Moon Patrol, but at 1,000 miles an hour.
Right.
I at first I was a little put off by the fact that I couldn't tell which weapon I had until I fired it.
Right. And it changed every time you pick up a crate, it changes your weapon randomly.
But I actually really love, I really like that it just does it automatically now. And it's not a thing that I even considered, because at that speed, you don't really care. Just
right,
go.
Right. It's Space Tank's world. We just live in it. We're so long for the ride.
Did you see that?
Game is by Arnautic, I forgot to mention.
Oh, but. Yeah. Did you see the notes beneath? He actually mentions, or they actually mention that, I guess at one point the original build didn't include the automatic rolling forward. You actually had controls where you had to hold right to move.
Oh, I like it. It's like the craziest endless runner I've ever played in my life.
I was going to say, I think that this idea played out as an endless runner was really great. I would love to see more of that too.
Yeah, I agree. So VCT by GHEM was an endless space shooter where you flew around on a grid. It had a radar system showing you where the enemies are you had to fight. I thought it was a really technically impressive shell of a game and maybe a really great path forward for the developer and for other people to use. It wasn't much of a complete game, but I was really surprised with what they were able to do with Pico 8.
So my favorite part of that game that I think maybe either the creator here or anyone else who's thinking of making a space shooter of some kind, they should absolutely pull off that radar design.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
The sharpest radar that I've seen on something like this. Yeah. Really nice.
Orthogonal Fireworks by Adam J. It's, it had a high score. It calls itself a game, but basically all you do is refresh and it launches particles randomly. And then each of those particles launches more particles randomly. And you just see how large of a chain reaction randomly triggers with each reset of the board.
So what was your high score?
It was 1,037.
Oh man, I beat you.
Ah, what was yours?
I actually managed 1,349.
Oh, nice, nice.
But I had to refresh it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but wasn't it so satisfying? I could have just refreshed it all day.
Yeah.
little pops and trying to beat the high score. It was really a good experience, I thought.
It felt so satisfying just to even... Tell me, did you watch the total run up? Did you refresh it so you could watch the total run, or did you just do it blank?
Oh, I did the whole run.
Okay, yeah. I did the same thing. I liked watching the number scale quickly.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen at the end of it, I would have loved to have seen like the fireworks drift a little, like in the night sky, or become smoke.
Yeah.
Afterward, but I have a feeling that would crash Pico 8.
And I did crash Pico 8 in one of these games coming up, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
So The Career of Peter by Joseph N. Pat. It was really more of a visual novel. It's a very ambitious universe that was created in this game, examining an alternate history where the Weimar Republic's economic woes were resolved instead of... becoming the impetus for the Nazi Party.
Yeah.
And basically, the world is at peace throughout the 20th century, and so we're able to create a collectivist society that's run by an AI. And the game tells the story of a developer who lives during that time.
So what did you think about this?
I liked it. I don't know if this was the author's intention, but I think Peter was autistic, just based on his single-minded focus on euchre and his desire to create like a perfect euchre partner. So he designs an. I don't want to spoil the story, but the game revolves around Peter's endless pursuit to program a perfect euchre partner. And then he gets wrapped up in something that I don't think he was expecting. But play this one and leave some comments or send us an email. I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot to chew on this one.
Yeah. I liked the – well, and I think you mentioned before when we discussed this a while ago that the designs and the backgrounds and things like that. Really, I mean, it was pretty ambitious. And I liked this idea a lot, but I think I have a little bit of an insight just because I play Euchre. It's one of my favorite games. So I got some of the inside jokes about it. But I thought it was pretty interesting. I'd like to see more of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. So let's see. Ryukyu Circuit by Oinariman. This was very cool. I hadn't seen anyone do this before. It's a full sequencer that you create synth music by placing little men on the board and then little transmitters that when they hit the men, they generate a tone. And you can set them up on this cool scrolling grid and just kind of make this weird jam music.
Oh, see, I thought they looked like Squid to me, like, and that could just be Splatoon coming out of me, I guess. But, how long did you spend playing with this?
Probably 8 or 9 minutes. Yeah. I just kept, but I stayed on one rhythm. Like, I didn't ever reset it. I just kept like tweaking stuff and trying to make it something. And I'm sure it sounded terrible, but I was really into it. I was jamming.
Oh yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah.
It put me in the mind of Electroplankton.
Oh yeah.
Which I haven't done in so long. And then to get back to this, I was like, oh yeah, I remember how to do this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the animations were just great.
Oh yeah.
So Brushfire by Musirka. It was a nice take on the Game of Life, or Conway's Game of Life, where plants are growing and you can generate fires, forest fires, to show how the forest can basically transform over time.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it, but it's a nice take on the chain reaction theme.
Yes, absolutely. It caught on pretty nicely there.
Oh, caught. Nice point.
Ah, I did it.
So Blaster by Skateboardin. What did you think of this one?
Well, I was a huge fan of Ikaruga back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this was, if you can do this kind of a game in Pico Pico, this was a pretty good take on it. I really enjoyed the color swapping dynamic, and there was a lot of risk reward going on,
mm-hmm.
that really spoke to me. I really liked being able to like live on the edge of those explosions. It was a blast. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it too. You should check it out if you haven't played that one yet, listeners.
Yes.
Mass 360 by Morning Toast. It's a shooter where you basically are on a circular rail shooting at the middle of the board. And I think the idea is basically you're shooting like a out of control cell or life form to stop mm-hmm. it from growing.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Tempest, an old arcade game where you are also on a circular rail shooting toward the middle. And I like that idea. I think it's fun to dodge things that way. I think I like this more than like a sideways shmup.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a fun idea, and it was a nice jam entry.
The control in that game was so smooth. I could not believe how responsive it was.
Yeah, and sometimes games in Pico 8 can feel a little too harsh with the controls,
sure.
but this it did exactly what I wanted it to do, and that was very nice.
And I like the inclusion of a little bit of story in there too. That took that idea of just Tempest essentially, and kind of flipped it on its head a little. It was great.
Yeah. So Gears of Gear by Trezeval Dog. This is a game where you play a space weapon engineer on a spacecraft, and you move gears around and connect them to each other to change the properties of the ship's blasters. This was the one that I made Pico 8 run out of memory and crash.
Oh.
I just did a random setup, and it eventually spiraled out of control, and the explosions just kept going, and eventually that was that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I tried it out for a little while. I did not crash the game, but I had fun with it, yes.
Yeah. Arrows and Chains by Difty. It's kind of like Minesweeper, where when you click a button, when you click one of the spaces on the grid, it'll reveal an arrow. And that arrow, if it's pointing right, then it'll reveal the space to the right. If it's pointing up, then that one will reveal the space up. And you watch these chains propagate across the board, and it's really satisfying. But it gave me that same feeling as when you click a space in Minesweeper when you're playing it on Super Easy, and it clears like almost the entire board.
Yeah.
It's just really satisfying to me.
I thought that for such a simple idea, there's variation in the styles of arrows. Some of them do one space and some of them clear an entire row.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also like the bomb spaces. It really, for such a simple plan, they really, put a lot of depth into it. I really enjoyed this. I spent a lot more time playing it than I thought I would.
Yeah. Unchained by Johnny Ree. This was a platformer where the main mechanic was wall jumping, which is, you know, matching the theme. You're chaining jumps to each other. Yeah. I have to start by just saying, I hate saying it, but wall jumping is my least favorite platformer mechanic. I'm terrible at it. I always dread having to do it. So I couldn't get past the first screen, I don't think.
Wow. I got to the end of the first stage, but I gotta be honest, I had a similar issue with the controls on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's already frustrating because when you're holding the controller, you have to press against the wall, but you also have to jump in the opposite direction. So I never know which way I'm supposed to be pointing the D-pad. And I think that was hard.
I think this is another one that could benefit from a how to play screen. Even if they did like a one or two, just a little thing saying like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
But I would love to point out for all of that, the gameplay, I had a little bit of trouble even controlling the jumping on the small platforms, which the difficulty ramped up fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to point out, I really, really love the sprite work on this, or like the design.
Mm-hmm.
The tiny robots were adorable.
I agree.
I don't know how, and even I don't know if you noticed this or if you saw this, but if you're running and you come to a stop quickly, there's a skid animation.
Yeah, I did see that. That was one thing I did notice.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised that they put, you know, someone put so much work into that. Mm-hmm. and we still have a little trouble with the controls, but yeah. It was so, I would love to see them work with that just a little bit to get us there.
Yeah. So Star Picker Upper by Celeb. Would you like to talk about that one, Kyle?
I'd talk about it for hours. This is basically, I don't know if I'd say this was my favorite, but it's up there. I really, really enjoy that they kind of played on the idea of kind of an isometric screen, which is different from everything else we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bouncy and fun, and you're just kind of like running along these clouds, and it's the closest to a Kirby game out of everything we've seen here.
It's very aerial. It's very floaty.
And when you do well, when you collect the stars, they make you bounce.
Right.
So it even feels joyous even doing that.
Yeah. And the music was great. And let's treat the listeners to a little bit of that right now.
Before we move on, I do want to point out the other really awesome thing about that. From the start screen of that game, it had 16 different color schemes you could pick from. And
I didn't even notice that.
If you on the start screen of that game, if you press left or right,
mm-hmm.
it'll roulette through the different color schemes, and some of them they're just kind of silly and named after different kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
But then. If you want to make the game more challenging, you can do like high contrast, or I think hard mode makes it so that the colors are next to each other on the color wheel, so they're hard to tell apart. I mean, that's just a great little thing to throw in there.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything like that in Pico 8 before. That's really cool.
It was such a great idea.
Yeah. So Cesare by Mark 2O. I think I lied earlier about my least favorite game mechanic. It's not wall jumping. It's a lights out puzzle.
Aww, I enjoyed this. It was fun.
I couldn't beat it. I tried, probably played for 15 minutes and eventually just like there was one lit in the corner and I was just I'm out.
I'm done. I mean, I don't think these are definitely not puzzle or games that I would say are easy, but I kind of like the idea of, like, I don't know, it feels right to sort these, like, the lit and unlit spaces for me. It works nicely. And I thought this worked pretty nicely, too.
Yeah, and it's a great take on Chain Reactions.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Chain Warriors, this is by Bib D Control. This was a great take on the theme because you were literally trying to hit each other with chains. This is a multiplayer only game. Sadly, I couldn't play two players. I just got to poke around and get a feeling for the game. But you're collecting links to your chain, and the first player to get it long enough to hit the other one in the face wins.
So I did this. I actually played both sides of this just to see what would happen, like the first and second player winning. And I really love that this is just like two kids messing around with some chains. Mm-hmm. One of the kids, if they win, they say something like, "I'm going to tell mom." I mean, if nothing else, I think the controls are just the tiniest bit janky, but I thought the idea behind it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So next is Mostyn's Meltdown by Gamax92. I thought this was really cool. It was a really realistic lost car key simulator.
Yes.
Playing it, it was like watching my own life, you know, before my eyes. It was just so lifelike.
It felt very real to me.
Yeah, I suggest all listeners get out there and play it. Mostyn's Meltdown.
Absolutely.
We don't want to spoil it. So Rocket's Red Glare by Fried Yeti. This reminds me of, what was that launch game for the PlayStation 2 where you're shooting off fireworks?
I haven't thought about this game in years.
Me either, but I thought of it while I was playing this game. Basically, you have a limited number of rockets that you can fire to set off chain reactions to try to clear the screen.
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that's dead on.
Were you able to clear the screen when you played it?
I could not do it.
Me
I came
either.
Close, though. I got it down to two circles remaining.
Yeah, I think I might try again in the future, but I couldn't do it.
I really liked that there was a difference in the explosion sizes. And again, that's just a little bit of variation that feels, it feels like such a tiny thing, but for me, it made a huge difference in how the game was played. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Super Cure 2, Dead to Rights Arena by Ian Martin. This is a competitive floor painting game. Again, this was a two-player game, and I had no player two, where the players are trying to paint more of the floor than their opponent.
So I never thought I would play a demake of Splatoon. I really enjoyed this. For as simple as it was, I thought it was... like the controls worked perfectly,
and
even to the point that you could KO the other player for a moment. I couldn't play it with two players, obviously, but it was hilarious to try to try to set up a situation where, and each round was like 30 seconds, so you'd be in and out like that. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Magnetic Switches by Perek K. You rotate a magnet. There's a grid of magnets. You rotate one of them 90 degrees, and it sends out some kind of electric signal from each of its ends. And if it hits a magnet, if it connects with a magnet, that magnet will rotate and continue to shoot off a signal. And it makes a really nice plucking noise.
Yes.
And it's a really nice visual stimulation. It was almost like visual bubble wrap to me.
It's really weird to me that you wrote almost the exact. I wrote it has a great plucking noise. I mean,
it really does.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
It felt very satisfying.
Yeah.
Especially even with the rings themselves, it felt cool on its own too.
Yeah. Chain Reactions was such a good theme because it really does generate some of the most satisfying game mechanics. It really does.
Yes.
Cellular Botanica by NDef. You manipulate flowers, dirt, grass, fire, and holes on a grid to design gardens. But if you put fire next to grass, for instance, it'll burn it and the fire will propagate. But if it's surrounded by dirt, then the fire will be extinguished. It's like a very dramatic. It's like a game of life simulator with six different kinds of life, basically.
Oh man, I didn't figure out the fire, the how to put out the fires. I only figured out how to make the fires.
I know. Eventually, end of the comments I was reading, everyone was saying. Eventually, my entire screen was just fire. So, yeah, I had trouble keeping the fire at bay, but eventually, I figured it out.
One note that I really liked about this was the night and day mechanics, which was something that I have not seen in other stuff. That that was such a great note. Just to have any, I think it was just a template swap or a palette swap or whatever, but it was a really cool idea.
Yeah. Loot Cave by Misato. This, in this game you have a lightning gun, and there's a really good backstory on the splash screen. It reminds me of arcade games.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like a, are you a bad enough dude to save the president kind of introduction, and then you're thrown into the gameplay. And you have a gun that shoots lightning bolts, and when it hits an enemy, it shoots two lightning bolts perpendicular to the direction you shot from the enemy. So you basically, you let the screen get filled with enemies, you shoot once, and then it causes this huge lightning storm that takes out tons of enemies.
This game, just I realized that it had two people working on it. In the notes, they had the credits, but they got such great presentation points. That title screen and the textures in the game, and even the designs of the different aliens, just really, really top-notch stuff there.
Yeah, that is a great collaboration. And a lot of the best games I've played on Pico 8 are collaborations, and it's cool to see different people work together. This one had some of my favorite music in the entire jam.
Yep.
So let's play a little bit of that now.
Cool.
Okay, and then next we have Float Fall by JCT Wood. It had really beautiful minimal art. You played this one more than me, so why don't you talk about it?
Oh, man. So one of the things that I wanted to... this is one of my picks for the best game in the set. It just... You have this tiny little diver, or I'm assuming it's a diver, just kind of floating down through this this area where you can pick up bubbles. And as you pick up bubbles, you can rotate them around yourself. And the goal of the game is to create this mass of bubbles as they connect to each other and expand on you. And you want to move the bubbles by rotating. You can rotate things right or left and manipulate where the air and move the diver itself. And you're trying to move down without you're trying to just continuously float down without hitting the sides to pop the bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed, I mean, it was very satisfying to try to, well, I mean, there was a risk reward thing again, where you were trying to pick up bubbles, like rotate it so you could snag that one on the end, but then rotate back so you would miss that rock outcropping.
Right. Yeah. You just become a bigger and bigger target.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. It was a really, really well done game.
The music in it was, again, fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Just very chill, very relaxing. And one of the things that I liked about the art style is that it's not immediately recognizable as any one design.
Yeah.
It looks like they pull from a lot of different ideas. And I really thought that was great.
Right. So Pico Pang by Matt. The first thing I noticed was the adorable little Mario sprite. I don't know if that one was from... There's an artist named Johan Vinay who does a lot of work in the Pico 8 sprite editor. I'm not sure if he took it from his Mario or if it's a new one, but it's just an incredibly cute little man.
Oh, totally.
The game mechanic was, I guess I've never seen anything like this before. You throw a grappling hook straight up and you try to subdivide orbs that are raining down, and then eventually you just try to destroy those. The idea... I had trouble. It didn't really come together for me. But it was something new, and I applaud that.
It took me a little while to get used to it, but once I got the hang of it, when you burst the tiniest bubble, it sets off a little time freeze for a couple seconds while you can break all the larger bubbles to keep your chain going. I just thought that it worked really well once it got going and once you get the hang of it. But I agree, like that immediately it's going to be a little tough to get around.
Yeah. Next, Puzzle Magus by Benjamin Soule, one of my favorite developers. It's a match three game where you drop squares of four elements and you try to set off chain reactions. And once you set off at least four, I think, then the elements turn into gold. And the point of the game is to fill as much of the screen with gold as you can.
Yeah. I loved this just because, like, I'm used to these puzzle games where you where the whole goal is just to remove the blocks. But to take this idea to make it into the whole goal being that you need to transmute the blocks, like to change the blocks into something else that's still on the screen, and to use that to like start setting up combos where you have, I've got some earth over here. Let me see if I can connect this with some air to see if I can. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a great idea, and I really want to see this expanded on.
Yeah, me too. And this, for the record, this is the same developer from Totem.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. He makes really polished work.
Yeah, I agree.
So Zombie Intersection by Jeffrey Campbell. Let's be serious here. If there is a zombie apocalypse, cars are going to be our only hope for survival. Zombies can't get in. We can run them over. And this game, I think, really capitalized on that.
Yes.
So you're trying to lure zombies into a busy road to make them die when they're run over by a car.
By giant explosions for some weird amazing reason.
That was my favorite. Yeah, so when a zombie would die, it would start an explosion. And if another zombie touched it, that zombie would also explode.
Yeah.
I guess it makes it a chain reaction, I guess.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I wish the road was a little busier.
Me too. I do too. I was always hoping for a car to drive by, but...
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever played in traffic, I guess.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Super Combo Lover by Legars. This is described as a dating sim fighting game where you string together different performances on a date. Like you might laugh, you might tell a bad joke, you spend a little bit of time listening, you might brag about yourself. And then depending on the order you do things in, it improves the quality of the date. What were your thoughts on this game?
So I've been wanting someone to do something like this for a long time. I really enjoyed this, especially that you have, like, it has that long... Did you look up the move list?
Yeah, that's what I was going to laugh. I was like, it was like Mortal Kombat 2. There were like 30 different button combinations that you had to memorize if you wanted to play it optimally. Well,
I want to say, like, that was brilliant because, yeah. And to say that it's not, to not show the combinations in the game itself, because that's what dating is like.
Right.
You're going in and you're like trying your moves.
Right.
And you're not, and I, one of the notes that I have here is that I wish I had a little bit of feedback, but as soon as I wrote that, I thought, oh my gosh, that is what dating is like. It's hard to tell sometimes.
That's exactly what was in my notes, was I wish you had an indication of how the date was going, but you have you have a perfect point. I agree with you. I concede.
My favorite bit of it though was the button for, or I don't remember which direction, was tell a bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
I played around with that because I like telling dumb jokes. Obviously, clearly. But I loved that if you did the combo right, you could do, to take a bad joke, if you continue the combo, it becomes a good joke. So you can take a bad joke and turn it around. And then if you continue the combo, I guess with the right timing or whatever, it becomes an amazing joke.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Oh my gosh, it made me so happy. Like, yes, that's what my whole goal is. Every interaction is like that.
So Small Pixel Collider by Godzilla. This almost felt like a Mario Party minigame where you have to alternate pushing two buttons until it's at the exact right moment. Then you push a third button. You're basically trying to get a particle to 88 miles an hour. and then stop it, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it's the first step to a larger game, and I really had fun with it. It was fun to watch.
It could be part of a mini game collection, or maybe some kind of competitive game. But yeah, it was and I loved watching the little pixel fly through the collider.
Can you imagine that is like a WarioWare style mini game set? That would have been great.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, we have Croco Chain by Miroton. I just have to say, the pixel crocodile was probably the cutest thing I saw in the entire jam.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
It was the developer's first Pico 8 game, so congratulations, and I'm so glad you were able to participate in the jam.
Yes.
The mechanics, I think I needed, this is another one where I needed a rule sheet, but it was really solid. I like to applaud the entire developer community who participated. I can't believe this much work was cranked out in 1 week. It was really, really an amazing showing, I think.
Oh my gosh, there were some really great games in here.
Yeah. So let's get down to brass tacks here. We're going to be handing out a couple PicoChat awards for games in a few categories. So first up, Kyle, which game do you think had the best art and animations?
Ooh, art and animations. You know, my immediate one to go for is I really, really enjoyed Floatfall. Just the changing style of the architecture and the sides of the tunnel, I guess. And the animations of the bubbles actually worked so well for something that was that chaotic. I thought it was beautifully done. And this is another one of the games that changed their color schemes every time you played. It was just so well done in all those respects. I think that's what I would go for.
Yeah. I think mine would go to the career of Peter, just because for having poked around in Pico 8 before, I did not know it was possible to include that much, that many full backgrounds and that many pieces of art. And I think he did some manipulation with the free space in the memory that an ordinary user maybe wouldn't know how to do. I think it was a cool feat, and it was an impressive technical showing, so I would go with that. So next up, what do you think had the best music and sound effects?
Oh man, can I go with the fish painter?
Hell yeah.
I really enjoyed the music in that. I thought it was very you know what, I'm going to take that back.
You misuniversed it? Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say honorable mention. Fish Painter Deluxe was really great. I enjoyed the music in that. Very, very chill. But I think the one that I would pick then is Star Picker Upper. Yeah. Just the bouncy music and the sound effects. I think I have a note here about the death explosion was hilarious. So I think I'm going to go with Star Picker Upper. It was cute in all the right ways.
I think I'm going to go with Loot Cave. The music really reminded me of Metroid almost.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It had the same, you should go back and listen to it. It had a really beautiful, kind of haunting, lonely vibe to it. And it was just a really nice, again, it was a collaboration. So there was more effort could be spent on the music. And I think it really showed.
Yeah.
Finally, what was your favorite overall game in the jam?
Oh, man. Let me think about this. You go first.
I know. I've been putting you on the spot here.
Oh, man.
So mine would be Space Tank 9000. I just loved barreling down this, like, lightning flashing landscape, trying to keep an eye on my overheating bar so my weapons wouldn't break, trying to catch boxes, trying to shoot things in front of me, on top of me, while you're just barreling through this crazy landscape. It was just so frenetic, and it matched my aesthetic, I think, really well. And I love games that look like that. It reminded me of being in an arcade. I love that game.
That sounds amazing. It was a lot of fun too. I think coming around to it, I think I would actually go with Mass 360, just because it incorporates so many of the ideas, and I realize that it may not follow the chain reaction theme as strongly, but it really, the controls were just so smooth, and the idea of making this into kind of a shmup that has a story to it, but in such a way that it's still really hectic, I think it came together really beautifully.
Nice. Would you like to take a guess of what... So all participants were able to vote on what they thought was the best game in the jam. Would you like to hazard a guess as to who ended up winning?
Oh, man, I didn't look it up. I saw the results were there, but I didn't look it up.
Good. So what would you guess?
Actually, I would probably say Space Tank 9000. That seems about right.
Yeah, it was not. It was actually Combo Pool, which I think that makes total sense. It was so polished.
Yeah, yeah,
it was absolutely a really solid game. And we sang its praises earlier on, so
yeah,
I could easily see that winning.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I enjoyed that a lot too.
Yeah. Okay, and with that, we are going to wrap up episode 2. Kyle, thank you so, so much for joining me and jumping into Pico 8 headfirst and playing all these terrible, crazy games I send you. I hope you'll be back for future episodes.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Great. Thank you so much, and thanks for joining us, and we will see you on episode 3.